Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live on the Alex Jones Network. If you're tuned into this, you are tuned into reality. You're tuned into the real world. You're tuned into the third dimension here on planet Earth. My name's Harrison Smith, and I'm hosting the War Room Live with my whole crew in the room right there, and like four editors crammed in a room over there, and like five people downstairs. We're a little crammed in here these days, but that's great. In this dimension, in this reality, InfoWars never failed. It never got unpopular. It never, you know, did something that would legitimately be worthy of total destruction. In this dimension, InfoWars has been the subject to totally fraudulent lawfare abuse, abusive process, anarcho-tyranny, for lack of a better word, illegitimately applied default judgments, juries that were instructed on how to judge things, charges added weeks after the jury trial ended. I mean, it just goes on and on. That's this dimension. That's the real dimension. That's the real world where this is happening, where I have a job, where my crew has a job, where all of us are funded by alexjoneslife.com, and where we simply are defending ourselves against the continual harassment and continual legal abuse of a bunch of extremely well-funded global elite. That's the real world. That's existence in the dimension of reality. If you go to Blue Sky, however, InfoWars has been defeated. It has been purchased by The Onion. It's owned by Tim Heidecker, who is a comedian, and Ben Collins, who is not a weasel wearing a human costume. Okay. And in that dimension, I've lost my job. I'm very sad. I'm pathetic. I'm flailing, and I'm desperately reaching out to Putin for just a little bit more of that money so that we can hire lawyers to further harass innocent families and harangue and control federal judges so that we can manufacture our own personal set of laws that only we have to adhere to. So I guess it's up to you which one of these realities you want to live in. Because apparently there's thousands of people living in that reality. There's thousands of people living in the reality where I've lost my job, where Onion owns the InfoWars, where Tim Heidecker is funny, Ben Collins is respectable, Alex Jones is a super villain who has federal judges in his pocket and an infinite amount of wealth from despots around the world. In reality, we're going to keep getting support at thealexjonesstore.com. We're going to keep telling the truth and holding ourselves to a higher standard than any other media outlet out there. I mean, hell, anybody that hosted Ben Collins and Tim Heidecker over the last couple of weeks should probably do some soul searching, probably need to issue some corrections. You probably need to, in a shame-faced way, go in front of your audience and tell them that that report that you filed a week ago was utterly untrue and you were the victim of fraud. Otherwise, it's your credibility that's going down. Not ours, right? We're not the ones lying about all this. What a sad sausage party of losers, con men, and dupes. Losers. And again, you know, if you scroll down, I mean, they have one insult. Can anybody guess what it is? Oh, can the crew figure out what the insult is? Look at that, 7,000 likes. Pathetic. Pathetic. Like, they just literally know nothing. They just know nothing at all. Here they're looking at Rex wearing shorts with a blazer because they don't understand high fashion. The plebs. Show me a picture of the dumbest thing currently happening. Again, it's like, you know, they think this hurts us, right? Wait, stop. Go up. Stop. Go up. That the frog thing. Like, they're like, where did it all go so wrong? Like, do they think this is embarrassing? Do you think Alex accidentally dressed up as a frog? You think he didn't realize that it looked silly, painting his face green and dressing up in a frog costume and hopping around the studio like a giant frog? You think that was him trying to be serious and you're making fun of him by posting it? Couldn't possibly be that he's being a goofball on purpose because he's a silly guy and you're just seething in sort of petulant anger that you're not in on the joke. it's just ridiculous and insane. And of course, it's like, oh, these incels. And it's like, if you bring up that picture, I'm pretty sure everybody over 25 in that picture is married. I'm pretty sure over half of them have kids and most of them have grandkids. But like, that's these people though. You know, they see just like normal American men and they just have to like seethe and insult and like, oh, they're all the thing I am. Actually, they're no better than me. They're just as degenerate and lonely and pathetic as I am because they can't be better off than me. So again, this isn't a bad thing for us. It's really not. Obviously, you know, I mean, just think about what they spent. Think about the amount of money that they spent. We can take it down. I don't need this anymore. Just trying to take us down. $325 million at least of the most high-powered law firms in the world over years, dedicating God only knows how many thousands of hours. Oh, they're saying Thomas is crying. Were you crying, Thomas? Were you weeping? Were you so sad? He was crying. Okay, I'm sorry. This is the thing. They live in an alternative reality. Genuinely, I don't know who it is they're making fun of. I don't know who it is they think they are. It's just crazy nonsense, cartoon delusion world. But okay. So look, I don't know. I don't want to like downplay it because it is a bummer that this is the world we live in. It sucks that this is the state of justice in this country. It sucks that they can do this to us for years over years. And by the way, the end of this is almost certainly going to be that all of this stuff gets reversed. It's just been delayed. We haven't gotten to the Supreme Court. We haven't gotten to the Texas Supreme Court. We haven't filed our countersuits. We haven't filed our like criminal evidence that we have. Like, the end of all of this is likely going to be that they spent over $250 million, thousands of man hours, just like ruined our lives for 2 years, and they will have achieved less than nothing. And in a way, isn't that perfect? Isn't that exactly how it should be? Isn't it like kind of emblematic of everything that we've always talked about? That we are so dangerous that us sitting here and reading freaking mainstream media articles and just pointing out the inconsistencies in them, that is such a powerful and dangerous threat to these high-powered lawyers, these people willing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars just to shut us up, and they can't even do it. They can't even succeed. I am still live talking to you right now on all of the same channels, minus one or two. So I get why, you know, like, I understand people are sad that, like, this is the world we live in, right? That's the thing to be sad about. You should be sad. You should be angry that we live in a world so replete with these scumbags, so able to be manipulated by people with money, so vulnerable to psychological operations that are capable of swaying entire swaths of the population despite being utterly baseless and totally devoid of facts. It's sad that that's the world we live in, but that means our fight is the right one. It means what we're doing is more important than ever. And it's almost like in a way, I don't know, I'm just not sad that this has happened. It's verification for everything we've always said. And if we lived in a world where you know, trial like this was immediately smacked down, and cases like this, you know, went a different way, and just like justice actually mattered and the truth actually applied, then what purpose would InfoWars have? That's the world we're trying to create. That's the world we're trying to get to. That's why they're trying to stop us. So of course we're in a world that's corrupt. Of course we're in a world that's fallen. Of course we're in a world where the worst people ever have total immunity and can do whatever the hell they want and then say the same thing about us. Of course, because how would we be heroes otherwise, right? Who's going to love Harry Potter if Voldemort isn't killing children? It's like, no, that's what you need. How are we supposed to heroically stand up against an overwhelmingly evil and powerful foe if we don't have an overwhelmingly evil and powerful foe? It's like, that's what we need to be the overwhelmingly heroic champions of good. Like, hello? We can't have a bunch of people out there just kind of doing evil stuff, just like moderately being corrupt. Like, no, they've got to be the worst. They've got to corrupt everything. Every step of the way has to be a masterclass in subversion and manipulation and deception and stupidity and brainwashing. It has to be, because that's what we want to stand up against. God is giving this to us like a feast to gorge on. It's amazing. How could you ever want anything different? It's like, no, you don't want the dragon to be terrorizing the townspeople, but if you're a hero with a sword, it's kind of your thing. It's kind of the reason you have the sword. So without the dragon, what would we do? We wouldn't be heroes, that's for sure. The dragons are everywhere, and we're slaying them all. It really is fun. And of course, they're actually the ones crying about it and literally going on antidepressants the last time this failed. Gonna have to up that prescription, bro. Gonna have to go take some ayahuasca, try to reset a little bit. I don't know. Do you need a psychiatrist? Do you need some talk therapy to work through the feelings that you're experiencing? You pussy. You faggot. Look, we're gonna talk about the news now. I'm gonna move on from the scum, but I really have to express in the most thorough way I can how victorious this has all felt, how truly wonderful it has been to be proven right about everything, to be targeted by incredibly powerful, wealthy, influential, and immoral dirtbag scum that aren't even talented in their own chosen profession. It's perfect, because we've got no support. We've got no institutional backing. We've got no dark money to speak of. That's all them. And yet we're winning anyway, and we will continue to win as a symbol of our correctness and their evil. Because at the end of the day, no matter how powerful they are, God designed this universe, and doing the right thing is always going to be hard. Everybody would be a hero. Everybody would be good. Everybody would do things for free if it was easy. And it is a universal constant. It's always harder to do the right thing. I don't know why God made it that way. He wanted to challenge us. He wants us to live up to it. He wants us to be capable. But always, 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 always. It's always, always better. It's all, like, no matter what you're talking about. Healthy food tastes bad. Like, explain that one to me. Healthy food tastes bad. Sitting around is easier than exercising. Like, everything that's good for you is hard. I don't know why. But that's the thing. Of course this has to be hard. Of course it can't be easy. It wouldn't be good otherwise. So we do have a lot of news to get into here. Some vaccine, some pretty interesting vaccine news, actually. As well as some racial hatred and calls for genocide against white people. But, you know, what else is new? Just sort of going mask off now. And we got a lot of videos to get to as well. Major corruption exposed in Ukraine. And there's sort of a twist to the story, because we've reported multiple times of some of Zelensky's highest valued lieutenants getting caught in massive bribery schemes and then having to flee to Israel. And now there's like interviews with those guys in Israel being like, no, Zelensky's the corrupt one. I fled because they were trying to pin it on me. So I don't know who's screwing who over, and I don't really care. I think they're all bad, and they should all be hung by the neck until dead after a Nuremberg-style crime for the relentless war crimes they've subjected their own people to for the last several years. That's my position personally. But we can get into the details of the corruption, I guess. We can look under the lid and see the disgusting, you know, fetid New World Order mess underneath. But we could just get rid of them all otherwise. But anyway, we'll get into that. And then this story, and everybody like knows by this point, the story broke yesterday, I believe. And just one of these stories where I don't think I'm special. I think everybody saw this story and just went, no, that's not happening. That's a lie. But it like went national and became this big story, I guess, because she's pretty and the details were lurid. So people wanted to spread it, even though they knew it was fake. But like, I had this story yesterday, right? I saw it. And anybody even reading this headline or seeing her picture just should know automatically, without an instant hesitation, there's no way this is real. And he's probably a minority. He's probably a minority from India. JP Morgan staffer accuses female boss of drugging him, making him her sex slave. Oh, yeah, I bet. Oh, yeah, oh, that sounds, oh, it's real convincing. Oh, yeah, I bet she's just abusing men all over the place. And I bet he hated it. Like, come on, guys. Come on. Is this the type of stuff we're falling for, really? Again, I don't, am I special? I don't think I am. I asked the crew, but it was like, no, nobody bought that story. But I don't know. It went around the country, became a national story. People were talking about it like it was real. Who thought this was real for a single minute? And by the way, is he even real? What is that face? That is a heretofore unrecognized, like undiscovered phenotype that I'm looking at. What is it? That was the second thing. I was like, oh, that guy's AI. I was pretty sure that guy was AI. It reminds me of something. I don't know what it is, but it connects to something in my lizard brain that's sending me warning bells. Can we bring up his picture again? What is that? Why is it so off-putting? The Indian Jason who's Jason Segal? From Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Interesting. I don't know. He looks uncanny. He somehow exists in the uncanny valley despite being a real person. The formerly anonymous J.P. Morgan staffer who accused his boss of repeatedly sexually harassing him has been revealed following an investigation by the bank that no wrongdoing had happened. Chirayu Rana, 35, is the man who accused Lorna Hijdini earlier this week. Rana filed the suit under the pseudonym John Doe, accusing Hijdini of turning him into a sex slave by repeatedly drugging him. In a statement issued to the New York Post, Hijdini's lawyer stated, Lorna categorically denies the allegations. She never engaged in any inappropriate conduct with this individual of any kind and has never even been to the location where the alleged sexual assault took place. A female J.P. Morgan executive has been accused of using her status at the company to sexually abuse. And again, it's like, you know, are we supposed to treat this like it's real? Like, what? Who spread this? Why did anybody spread this? Because these stories were written as if these claims were, like, at all even possible. And they weren't possible for, like, 1,000 different reasons. She had never been to the place he said it occurred. He said it had to do with her withholding a bonus. She had nothing to do with his bonuses. She was not his boss. So it doesn't even make sense in the first place. He also has these, like, things that he says that she says to him, and they just are things that no woman has ever said, ever. Yeah, maybe people just like wanted to believe it was true, but you gotta ask how he drew his application. You gotta be able to see through stuff like this, y'all. Like, I don't always have a reason for not believing something. Sometimes you just go with your gut. Sometimes you read a headline that an attractive white female JP Morgan bank executive is keeping a weird looking Indian man as a sex slave, and you just go, no, that's not true, and that never happened. Next story. Well, actually, he filed the yeah, JP Morgan. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. The real life story. So what did she say? The alleged sexual advances became more explicit. Like, it's got all these, like, details. Okay. Joe claims that Hajdini advanced on him, demanding that she give him oral sex. In one instance, the man says that she said, birthday BJ for the brown boy, my little brown boy. Yeah, okay, listen to me. If you still could, if you couldn't tell from the headline that this was a bizarre fantasy by an Indian man, I think the minute that you have the woman saying, let me pleasure you, my little brown boy, like, it's like, guys, it's not even good fiction. Doe says he tried to resist the advances, but that she threatened professional retribution in the company. If he wanted to be promoted, he would have to start by pleasing her, according to the complaint. You're going to have to earn it, my little Arab boy toy, Doe alleges she said during an event. Again, I'm not reading this like I'm actually covering this story. The only reason I'm covering this at all is to try to commiserate with you, express to you something I hope you're already feeling. How did anybody fall for this ever? And that's basically it. It's just like, is this the state of our news media now? I mean, I know, you know, we're outside of the Me Too movement, but I don't even think the Me Too movement got this absurd. Not usually. Anyway. It's just this type of stuff where it's like, this is why InfoWars is needed, okay? This is why InfoWars is necessary, because the mainstream news media publishes stuff like that uncritically, as if it's real. Probably ruined that woman's life. Certainly humiliated her quite a bit. Totally and utterly and obviously fraudulent, because every single instance of everything the guy said was provably false, even without getting into the details. So why was this story ever run? You have to wonder. You really do. And I think we're going to stick on this theme. I think we're going to stick on this theme for the next segment. And when we get back, we'll show you a little bit of inside info about India and what's going to happen when people with, you know, culturally Indian outlooks on life come to America. Probably going to see more of this type of stuff. Probably going to see a lot more of this type of stuff. You know, white men would never do this. I'm going to start saying that a lot more. I don't want to embarrass the person that said it. So I won't say, but somebody recently was talking about an attack against an innocent woman. And they were just like, a white man wouldn't do that. No, you know, white people don't do that. It's kind of like, maybe we need to bring that back. You know, it used to be the case. White people held themselves to a very, very high standard. And we might need to bring that back. Just remind people the way you behave as a white person. And if you're going to want to live in a white country, you're going to have to hold yourself to that standard. That's where a lot of the problems come from. We have a very high standard that we hold everybody to.